First item on the agenda for this August 18th planning meeting is public comment, but we do have a person here from MAG that's going to address us.
Who's on the council? Because you all mixed together. These guys and you? Make sure I get the right one.
Thank you.
Do you have a specific spot for me or just?
You're there, right in the middle.
Well, that's fine. So glad. Where can I turn it off? There we go. Right there. Okay, so I'm Jess Bedingfield. I'm with the Mountain Land Association of Governments. I'm with the Community and Economic Development Department. And I have a couple things I wanted to go over with you guys to put on your radar and make sure that things are submitted properly and as soon as possible. So the first thing you'll see is my card. If you have any questions about anything, please call me or shoot me an email. I'm happy to help. The second item is this local assistance flyer. There's lots of resources available in our area for community members who are in need. I'd like to particularly bring to notice the Utah Rent Relief, rentrelief.utah.gov website. The state received $44 million to set aside for rental assistance, and they've used, what was it? They said 4% of it. If these funds aren't used soon, they will be sent back to the Fed. So if you know of anyone who is in need, please direct them to that website so that they can get some specifically since the money is there and they need it.
To the MAG website?
To the rent relief website on that first flyer. I also have a stack if you guys would like to take them to the city office.
Super. Thank you.
Okay. The second paper you'll see is the capital improvements projects and the community impact board list. This list is updated annually by MAG and is submitted to the state. It opens up, Daniel, to be available to receive some federal and state funding, so this list needs to be updated annually. I wasn't able to find a Daniel-specific one of the CIB list, which is that bottom half. So if we could please work together and get that one done, as well as a capital improvements list. That is due to the state, along with the jurisdiction self-assessment on the back. On September 15th, it opens up you guys to be able to apply for lots of state funding. When I was talking to the girl in charge of the state funding this morning, she said that no community in Wasatch County has applied for these funds in 25 years. And so that means there's money that is available that we are not applying for. And I think it'd be really helpful to do that. Also, this document is attached to your CDBG Community Development Block Grant application to the state for their Small Cities program. They just want to make sure that you're planning what kind of projects need to occur in the community. So even if it's not CDBG as a project, you should include it on this list because it opens up funding from other sources. Any questions on that? Okay. All right. Next, there's a cute little flyer. Southern Wasatch County Small Cities Community Development Block Grant Program received $1.3 million in CDBG, CEB COVID-related funding, and this is how we spent it. The Christian Center, Park City, and Community Action Services and Food Bank were required to shut down for 3 to 4 months last year, so all of their food went bad in the food pantries, so we were able to restock their food pantries to serve 21,000 people. We were able to award business grants to 155 businesses in Summit Wasatch County, provide grocery cards for 300 students receiving free and reduced lunch programs to be able to buy groceries on the weekends. Community Action Services has ordered and will have a mobile food pantry that they intend to take around to each of the communities at least once a week so that people can have easier access to the food pantry. There was also 2 days where students could receive backpacks and school supplies from the Christian Center of Park City in Heber last week, and 600 students from Wasatch County were able to receive these school supplies. Community Action Services has also bought a support van and will be putting hygiene kits, including toothbrushes, deodorant, toothpaste, that kind of a thing, in each of the schools so that students can have access to those basic hygiene kits if they need them. Any questions on how we spent $1.3 million? Okay. Right. Next is the regular FY22 Community Development Block Grant How to Apply workshop. It will be held on October 13th at 6 p.m. at the Wasatch County Building. Attendance is required if you guys want to submit an application as a city or any organizations with the city's support or sponsorship to apply for these federal funds that get distributed to Wasatch and Summit County. It's about, last year was $612,000 that our area was allocated. You do get bonus points if an elected official attends. That's points, two bonus points, and that usually is the difference between getting funded and not getting funded, because the scoring is that close. It's 2 points for any elected official to show up, not for each elected official to show up, so you don't all have to come. It's not going to help you.
2 points each, right?
2 points each, totally. So it.
Narrow mind.
Exactly. It's totally a thing. So after that, you'll see the upcoming program, your timeline. With the feds, nothing is quick, even though I talk really fast. So the How to Apply workshop is in October. The earliest that funding could possibly be expended, or anyone can enter into a contract to expend funds or commit funds, would be July 1st of 2022. We did have a project that was award funded last year that jumped the gun and signed their contracts in June, and that violated their eligibility for the program. They're not getting the money, it's been rejected, and there's nothing we can do at that point. So really, really, really pay attention to the deadlines. I'm happy to walk you guys through this. It's super great to get these funds into the communities. Okay. Applications are due in January. You have to come to the How to Apply workshop in October, and I will walk you through the process. So a couple things. Since 2015 to 2021, we did a lot of water and sewer projects, and that's mostly where we've been funding all of our CDBG funds. So we did $3.5 million in water and sewer projects since 2015. On the back of that paper, or on the second paper, you'll see just barely over $300,000 has been spent on other projects. This is where I personally get really, really excited. So water projects cost a lot, and like they do, there's not much you can do, and especially with the Community Development Block Grant, 70% of the project beneficiaries have to be low to moderate income in order to receive those funds, which is really limited what projects can be done due to that income requirement. MAG is currently searching for additional funding sources so that we wouldn't be required to meet that 70% LMI requirement and no longer have to do LMI surveys for water and sewer projects. So we're still trying to do that. This year you can still put your water and sewer project in, but for 2023 we're trying to do something different so we can free up funds. Income surveys are very time intensive. And it's a lot of work on Mary to try to do all of those in a short amount of time, and I get that. So that's why I'm really encouraging you guys to do the other projects. So certain projects don't require that LMI survey because they are presumed LMI populations, low income populations. Sorry, guys. Included in that are seniors as well as disabled adults. So if in your town you need any assistance with ADA projects or ADA access, they automatically qualify for this program without having to do that excessive paperwork. So for instance, in Heber in 2018, they did $112,000 for ADA compliance for the city office. That project automatically qualifies. Since water projects take up so much money, usually there's just a little bit left at the bottom. They score high, they do well, but that fund can't be used to half pay for a project. So those smaller or lower cost projects get bumped up to the top of the list for funding. So if you have a $60,000 ADA project, that's more likely to get funding because we can fully fund that amount after fully funding other things. So if you have any projects like that, or if you want to discuss any projects that you guys could do with that funding to apply, I'm happy to work with you guys. I'd really like to see some more of this funding be used not directly in Heber, personally, and possibly out of Summit County. I want to help more of Wasatch County with these funds. Any questions? That was a lot really fast.
So our name appears on there a couple of times, I see.
Yes. Which is awesome. Glad we could get some work done. Hopefully, with the additional funding, we can do some more projects that are less labor intensive and wouldn't require that Davis Bacon compliance.
When I get your business card for the back to school program?
So the back to school program ended on Saturday.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, thank you. And that was with the Christian Center of Park City.
I'm the president of the PTA of the Daniels Canyon School District.
Okay,
so
perfect. We can talk.
I just need all the things. Yep, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you, Jess. Okay. Is there any other public comment tonight that want to address the council or the planning commission? Anything that's not on an agenda item? Anything bugging somebody? No? All right. Okay, that'll take us to item number two, Jana Bush and Wyatt. Not to be...
Not to be forgotten.
That's right. You can tell who I talked to, huh?
He did drive me here.
So what we're looking at is a conditional use for small education class and agricultural building, which is a separate item. So we had three different things come in on that application. What we're looking at tonight is a conditional use for small education classes. So we held a public hearing. We had public comment in our last meeting. Has anybody had a chance to review what was brought up and add any input?
Can I hear what was brought up? I'm curious.
Yes, you may. So we had several comments from residents regarding fire access, regarding traffic, regarding, what were some of the other things that was brought up in the public hearing?
Fire.
Fire mitigation.
Bridge.
The bridge.
Parking by the mailboxes.
Access to 40.
School buses.
School bus drop off right there. All concerns the community was brought up. So those that's not inclusive, but that's a lot of them.
Sorry, that none of those make sense. I live in that neighborhood too, and that's just, it's ridiculous. How are you gonna start a fire driving down the road?
Hold that thought for a minute, will
okay.
you?
Sorry.
Okay, so we've received some letters that since that public hearing, and did planning get the copy of those sent out? Mm-hmm. I was having a fight with my email for some reason, and it worked out well. So I did print off some copies, and so there was 2 for, and of course the 2 that were against.
While you're looking for those, I wasn't able to be to the meeting on the 2nd, but I listened to it, and there were some questions. Why are we doing it this year when they're going to do it next year? And I just wanted to say thank you for doing it this year, because normally people do it and then we say, well, you needed this to be able to do it, and then we go into the process afterwards.
But that's my concern and my complaint is everything that's happened within Storm Haven has been because there has been a complaint against somebody not doing what they were supposed to have been doing. So why is she being punished?
I hope she's not being punished. I agree, thank you for doing it right.
But so why are we bashing her for doing all of the steps necessary to be that only person within the circle
that actually gets a permit?
That is actually doing what we ask of people to do before we file, that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
So I haven't heard any bashing, but we do need to listen to public comment, mm-hmm. and that's all we're doing. Okay.
We know who's making the call.
Okay, sorry. Janice file's thick. And that's not in a bashing way.
Trying to get
dot all my I's and cross all my T's.
Okay, these were the 2 that came in today and yesterday, I believe. I didn't think they went through. I went back and looked in the draft folder and it's hanging there and I'm like, ah! Okay, well, you have a chance to read those and go over those.
Okay.
say the one you, the two you probably seen in our last meeting. A lot of the comment we received was geared towards not the conditional use, but the farm experience and products grown on site, which isn't part of the conditional use. Only the education is part of the conditional use. So the farm, selling products on the farm, is a use within the zone. It's already allowed, there's not a condition on that. That gets confused when it's all heaped together. So I tried to separate that last time. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't, so. I think Jen is well aware of that, that they're separate issues. So in a couple of letters, they had written mitigation items. And so I actually returned that with an email because it didn't state they were against or for the conditional use. And they reiterated that second one I gave you, that they are against it, but that had the mitigation issues in there. So they are against it, but these are the mitigations they would like to see happen if it goes through. Okay, did everybody have a chance to look at those?
Yeah. Give me some more time.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going. I'll just keep talking while you're doing that. So, we did have the farm description come through. I did take the liberty to redline that. Jenna hasn't seen that yet. I just did that today.
The what, Eric? Sorry.
Your farm plan.
Oh.
Business description.
Okay.
We're not there yet, but you might as well get familiar.
So I did send an email earlier. I don't know if you got it.
Go ahead and tell us your name.
Jessica McNair.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, we have that. Yep,
yeah. Do you need a spell?
She signed in.
Okay. So that was one of the two I got today and yesterday. And so the commission has that in their hand. And I will. Sorry, Mary.
I want to live in a circle, Domino's and Pebble.
Yeah, it sounds awesome, don't it? Oh, enter those emails into the
record. Is park at the entrance and divert the delivery.
And you might.
Oh, I'll deliver that for you.
And my parents live, like, legit 1240 East, 1050 North. Like, they're the first house off of Old Mill Road. Mm-hmm. And Crumble and Jimmy John's won't deliver there. So, I feel special.
Hand out in just a second.
The real question is, do they deliver here? Oh yeah, this is in town. Yeah. This is way in town.
So with a conditional use, you know that if those conditions can be mitigated, then you're obligated to issue that permit. If they cannot be mitigated, then you are obligated to not issue the permit.
Sorry, can you explain what that means? Sorry.
If it's a conditional use, it's listed on our conditional use. If those conditions that are brought up can be mitigated to uh-huh. the satisfaction, they're obligated to issue the conditional use permit.
Okay.
If those items cannot be mitigated, then they're obligated not to issue that.
Okay, so one of them was septic tank, how much a septic tank can hold? Why is that?
So I don't think septic tank was one of the issues.
It came up in the last meeting.
It did, yeah.
But I don't know.
So why, I don't know why that's.
But it's not a mitigation.
Well, it's not a mitigation item.
Okay.
They're on their own septic.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that isn't, that wasn't even brought up because it's clearly not an item.
Okay.
We try and stick with the items, just shorten the meeting a little.
I just know that was brought up at the last meeting, so I didn't know.
There was a lot brought up. That's why I said it was just a mosh. And so we have to weed through that and pick out what items there are that relate to the conditional use.
Okay.
And so those are those items that we were addressing tonight.
Okay.
Based on the public comment and anything else that any commissioner or council could put forth on something that need to be mitigated, so.
Eric, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Just looking at the one email from Gina Williams.
Yes.
And she doesn't want a commercial property.
Right.
But I already have a permit, so that's more, do you see what I'm saying? Like, I already have a business license to sell stuff.
Yeah, but it's not a commercial license. You have a home occupation license.
Okay. I don't know that I was asking for a commercial license.
Correct, that's a different process.
But what is that? What am I asking for that would be commercial different from the license I have to sell?
So is her comment irrelevant as far as Gina's concerned? Is Gina's comment irrelevant with the commercial license?
No, the license that she's talking about was a business license, which has already been issued.
Right.
And so that's why it gets so mixed up, because what we're dealing with is the conditional use. The business license to sell the products is a use within RA zone.
Right.
It fits in the parameters. There was a couple of things on the list in the farm description that don't follow that code, which are highlighted in red. But as far as that goes, that's a use within that zone. So there's no license required to do that.
I didn't get a copy of this one highlighted in red.
I'm just trying to think, what's the commercial part?
So.
Maybe I'm not as clear as I thought I was.
There won't be commercial on your property. You're RA5.
Right, and so that, okay.
So if you applied for a commercial license, you would get rejected.
She's opposed to a commercial property, and I don't think I ever asked for a commercial property. Nothing I'm asking for is commercial.
That's correct. She's just opposed to that. That's a good statement.
Perfect.
So if you start selling cars that you don't grow on your farm, then you.
Then I'm in big trouble. I won't sell anything that I'm not allowed.
And I think that's why we talked about stuff that was raised on site versus brought in product.
Right, yes, no, so just.
Turns into a commercial application.
Okay, so I just was like, did I ask for something commercial? So I got you.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't asking for anything commercial, making sure.
So Eric, the conditions are just these three things at the bottom of the sheet?
Those are not the condition. This is my take on it. I did this page. This is totally open. Those are suggestions to the commission of the items that I saw needed to be mitigated.
Can I have those items?
What's that?
Oh, sorry. I found those items.
At the bottom.
Is that at the bottom? Oh,
yeah, in red. And again, I was just giving that to the Planning Commission. They will set the conditions. I don't set the conditions.
Right.
Planning Commission will do that. From the letters and the phone calls, these are the three items that I had that needed to be mitigated.
And Eric, is this a concern person? This one?
Is it an email?
No, it's not an email. It says, concerns are these insurance on the building, road conditions.
Yes, that was a concern that came through.
Because again, it says I'd have to do commercial building fire code, but if it's not commercial, it's a home business.
Right.
I don't have to go
right.
by commercial.
Right.
Although I do already have a fire system in my home.
Right.
I have a big, huge water tank, and the water looks blue, and I'm not really sure why. Must have
loose pretty
tips or something. Because at first I was like, oh, yay, water storage. And I was like, oh, it's blue.
Blue is calling.
I don't think I can. Okay, so I was like, so those kind of things are kind of irrelevant because it's not commercial,
right,
correct?
Right.
Okay.
But that's why we have a public hearing. I mean, when there's a public hearing, that's the public's right to talk, and they can
Absolutely.
Talk about whatever they want.
Yeah. Well, I just want to make sure that nobody.
And we have to go through
the commercial.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
So, Planning Commission, with those items. Is there others that we need to look at? I want to get those items out that we need to get mitigated and see how we draft that in or if it can be mitigated.
Well, I have one question, and that is that she, her proposal was limiting classes to 8 students. Does that need to be a condition, or do we wait and see if there's a complaint on that, or how does that work?
So her conditional use will, this is her farm plan.
Okay.
The red is my comments. This is her farm plan, so she will be limited to what is on the G.
To what's on her plan plus
yes.
whatever conditions.
Yeah, if that changes, the conditional use will change.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have a question on the entry to your property. It's been changed a few times. Are you still proposing entering on the very tip there right by 40?
Yeah, I haven't changed it. That's where. No, I would prefer to go. Then no one has to cross that one-way bridge. Nobody goes into Storm Haven and causes any traffic. You come right off
this was your picture,
yes,
so you can't see it, but right on the tip.
Yes, Highway 40 runs like this, and then you would come right
the
off.
Storm Haven's on the tip, so she's just before the tip.
Okay,
yeah.
So let me answer that, please.
Yes.
You are not allowed to have a second entrance for selling your products. They have to park, you can't park them on your site. So you can't build a parking lot on your property to have people pull in and buy stuff.
Oh, because the code says that I can't have parking off my property.
Not for the farm.
For
selling your products. You cannot have off-street parking.
Right.
For selling your products.
Right.
That means they have to park on the road.
Off-street parking.
Right. You cannot do off-street parking.
They can't park on my property to come and.
But the problem with that is, and I'll tell you why that rule's there. If you build a parking lot, suddenly it becomes people pulling in, seeing what you got. The way that you're doing this under the RA5, using it as a use, they don't allow you to build a parking lot for people to use because it's not a high intensity use.
Right.
So they'll park on the road or in your driveway. But you can't build a special parking lot and have access off of the road other than what you use for your house.
So they have to come in my driveway. That wasn't brought up at the last meeting.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's why it's in red on that paper. I changed that because our code won't allow you to do that.
Okay. Because that's one of the things that would help other people who don't want traffic going in over the one-way bridge.
Yeah, and that was mentioned, but our code won't allow you to build a second entrance dedicated for product selling.
And is that a problem? Because that one-way bridge has never been monitored, ever, not once.
Been monitored?
What do you mean?
For traffic.
Oh,
I don't know if it's been monitored. I would never dare say it hasn't been monitored.
Well, it has never been monitored.
I've never passed it.
Which, well, I also never passed anybody on that road, but besides the point, it has never been monitored for numerous occasions held within that circle. So I don't feel like that would be a problem at all.
Great.
Well, and for the agricultural sales, which is already permitted, there is none of this discussion even required. They can go in there and they can buy their stuff.
I just didn't realize that they, because I was trying to respect the neighborhood. It's not like I want a second entrance.
Yeah,
I want to spend the money on a driveway. And
I'm
everything.
Sorry I had to stand squarely in front of that.
No, that's fine. I was trying to respect the quietness of the neighborhood, thinking, well, I've got that second gate right there. It makes it so much easier and it's not going to disrupt anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, they still, when they come, will only pass one driveway if they come to my house because I'm right at the beginning.
Right. Well, in your farm plan, you're having 2 people come at a time. I mean, it's not a huge impact.
Yeah.
If you had a fruit stand with off-street parking, it could become an impact, people just stopping by. So that's the reason for that rule.
Gotcha.
Okay. So
I read that wrong in the code. I read you have to have off-street parking. They can't park on the street.
Yes, just.
So they can't park on the street.
They can park on the street.
They can.
Yes. That seems
fast-paced. Which is so funny with all this fire.
It doesn't seem
park in the leaves.
But if you only do the 2 at a time, there won't be a problem.
Right.
Well, that's why.
That's one
of the conditions I put in there that they do fire mitigation out on the frontage. If they're going to have cars parking there to go get product, they should do some fire mitigation, cut the weeds down, make it so it's not.
If there's only 2 cars, though, they'll have plenty of room on my driveway.
Yes.
Okay. So I wouldn't have to.
So she wouldn't have to do that.
Anybody parking on those.
I don't know. I know that was a concern of the neighbors, and that addressed that concern.
Well, their concern wasn't it on the street, though. Their concern was them coming into that front acreage of mine that's dry.
Yes.
They didn't have any concern about the frontage on that street. And I don't even know that there's any weeds right there on the, where the mailboxes are.
There's not.
I'm trying to think.
So the concern I heard was fire danger.
Right.
On both sides of the street, it was pointed out in the meeting. So that was a concern. That's why it's in here as a suggestion to do fire mitigation, which is cut the weeds down and make it so it's not fire hazard there. Nobody wants it to burn, less of all you.
No, I absolutely don't. I'm really glad rain came with that thunder and lightning last night, because neither of us were home. And it did cross my mind what everybody said about that front acreage being fire hazard, which it normally isn't. It's normally irrigated if I had more than 30% of my water.
Yeah, totally tragic if there was a fire, I agree.
Yes. But would I have to do the mitigation if there's, I mean, my driveway can fit 15 cars on it.
It can, but if they're coming to pick up product, they should be parking on the street. I mean, nobody's going to say anything.
Well, you just said they could park on my driveway.
They totally are going to pull in your driveway. I believe they will.
Right.
But you have to have it available for them to park on the road, because that's the code.
Well,
I don't know if they're coming to buy your product at two people at a time.
Okay.
Your neighbors won't know who's coming to buy product if two people are coming at a time.
Okay.
Are they coming to visit? What are they doing?
Right. Okay. Sorry, that was just something new that I hadn't heard of. So I've got my.
So no second driveway.
I guess no. I mean, that's what I would prefer, and I think that's what people.
Well, no one thinks
I would prefer, but I guess.
Which the second driveway was problematic anyway, so that makes it easier.
It was. It's over an easement. I mean, there's an irrigation easement through there.
Yeah.
So there becomes other issues. Easement agreements and different parties associated with putting the driveway in there. So.
If it helps, engineering would support using the driveway. That other gate that's right on a blind corner. I know if the traffic volume is low enough, I don't think it's going to matter either way. But the existing driveway is in a safer location. I realize the cars have to come more into the neighborhood, but I mean, if you remember a few years ago, we tipped an 18-wheeler over on the bridge.
Yep.
And it was not a good location to have an accident.
No.
Oh, absolutely not.
I kind of shut down traffic for a while.
In our circle.
Yeah, it was a fun afternoon and evening and early morning.
That's when the conversation of second access came up.
Yeah.
One of those times that
and
was
it hasn't
priority.
Been fixed.
What's that?
It hasn't been fixed.
Right. So that was a Daniel Irrigation Bridge, and say if since piped it, and they don't have any interest in that bridge, so.
Not to get off topic, we have talked about a secondary access. We don't have one that anyone likes.
That's another meeting.
That's it, yeah.
Okay, so Planning Commission, have you got any other conditions that we need to look at?
The only one I wondered about was the number of students at a time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's taken care of.
Well, it says in there
eight.
Yeah. And
so as long as we stick with eight.
That's her plan, so she has to
stick with
yeah,
that
plan.
That'll
go on file, I'm assuming. And
so if we hear.
I only have a table that will fit eight kids.
Cool.
And but it's got all the leaves in it.
So if we hear there's 10 there, or people complain that there's 10,
right.
then
you can come and shut me down.
So.
I'm a rule follower. I am. To a
T. Thank you.
Just because I don't think it will hurt, can we leave number two in there, but just say fire mitigation for parking and access, which is just saying you're going to make sure it's mowed where people park, which I'm sure you're going to do anyway, but at least that kind of keeps people happy.
I'll hold her to accountable to that.
Okay.
Oh, a voluntary weedy. I like it.
No, my kid is attending her class, so can't work
will
here.
Be. Not now. I don't have it yet.
Also, they will have to put a requirement in that he has to walk, or you have to walk him over and can't drive.
Well, that actually is our goal, but if I drive, I'll let her know.
So anyway, I would. We could leave that in, and I don't think that hurts anyone.
Now we're getting a little picky here, but it does say on the classes, one thing that you added, Eric, is they can enter the property for the classes.
Yes.
Okay? So they could drive in, pick up kids, or park somewhere on the property for classes, but not for buying fruit or eggs or something.
Correct. The conditional use will be separate than the produce.
You have somewhere for them to park inside your property, those that do that?
That pick up the kids?
Yes.
I have a driveway.
Or if a mom stays while her kid is there or something like that.
Two cars can park on the driveway. We have a gravel pullout to the side of our house, and then our driveway has parking all, like it's just a big dirt right off our driveway. And our driveway is how long?
I don't know, but it's gravel. And it's extra wide.
So you have plenty of space, it sounds like.
We have, yeah.
It's essentially a lane.
So should we put a conditional use in there to say that they will park on the property in designated area?
Well, I don't think that we're gonna put that on. Basically, just because I don't tell you where your company can park when they go. And I don't think we're able to tell them where their company can park.
Well, it's not company though.
You don't know the difference.
Well, I don't know. Okay.
They're allowed under conditional use. They're not allowed under the farm. So that was the difference.
I know you're confused.
It is.
I'm confused.
It is confused.
I'm starting to get straightened out a little bit.
A little bit.
That there's two different things.
There's two different things, I get that.
The conditional use.
Just so we get it all lined up so you can have your business.
So Eric, we're having the conditional use on selling the products?
No, the conditional use is only on the education part.
On the education side.
Yeah.
Products they can legally do under the current zoning.
Okay.
So.
I'm having a hard time.
That was the only condition that I thought of, but you answered that question.
Yeah, we need to kind of separate these things just to.
Let me just hand this to you. So these are permitted uses. Those are conditional uses in the RA5 zone. So you're able to see that this is ancillary to the use. And this is the conditional uses. So in our code, we've stated this is a use within the RA zone, and this is a conditional use. And you remember not too long ago, we went over those, and we put non-commercial on the farm experience.
Yep.
And so that's the code that's cited. Anybody else? Anybody else can't sleep at night?
I'm gonna read it right now.
Okay.
And Eric, are we gonna talk about the stand another time?
No, we will address it right after the conditional use.
Okay. I'm sorry this takes up so much of your guys' time, honestly, I am.
I'm sorry for you.
They can't say it wasn't reasonably debated.
It was only day three of school, so I'm.
Oh, yeah.
School started. I'm on my third day of middle school math, so.
So as you look at that, the permitted uses, number three, are all in there. And you'll see number D is produce stands. So when we're talking about the produce stand, that's on D.
Those are all of them.
And so if you look at D, Jana?
Yes.
D, at the end of their stand, shall not provide off-street parking.
I teach math, not English, Eric.
Okay, I'm just pointing it out. I'm not saying you're wrong, I'm just pointing it out.
No, I just mean I don't always understand English the way I'm supposed to. That's why I don't teach it.
So that's where that comes into. That's why I put that in.
I just ought to, because it makes more sense that I would have to provide parking, so I just read it the way I thought it made sense, so that's totally on me.
Okay. Did I give you?
We'll put an exclamation point there instead of a not.
Yeah.
That's the way everybody reads code, it's okay.
Most people read code like that. They check out before they get to the end.
They read it to say what they wanted to say?
Yeah, that's.
What I meant.
Oh, I just thought that was Aries.
Well, I can't think of any other conditions then for the business part of it. If you already answered the parking one.
I did, code did.
For the school part?
Yes, for the school part, for the educational part, yes.
I couldn't either, I'm fine.
I guess the question is are you good with this that Eric handed out?
Just a review yearly for concerns?
Well, the business description with the stuff redlined out. Is that correct as it is?
Yeah.
You're good with that?
Yeah. Except, I mean, the whole, I guess, if no traffic will enter Stormhaven, you cross that out. But now that they have to come in my driveway, they do have to enter Stormhaven.
Well, and that was your plan. It's a public road. You can't stop people from entering Stormhaven.
Okay.
So
thank you. I was just trying to.
It's a nice try, but that don't work.
So the question is, are we ready for a motion?
Commissioner.
Ready.
Are we ready? Any other questions? Any for the applicant, for anybody? Seeing none, entertain a motion.
Okay. I move that we approve the. Do we approve it or does the council have to approve it?
You can send it to them to approve or we can approve it. It is a land use, so you can go either way.
Okay, based on what I heard in the council meeting, I don't think we have any problems from mayor or the council. But if any of them want to speak up and they want to hear this, I'll change my motion.
My only concern was that additional entry.
And we eliminated that.
Highway. I didn't like that at all.
And was it going to be in there where they we were going to review this year, lay the conditional use?
Yeah.
And so I've written in. Did I give you guys a red copy?
No.
I'm sorry.
Bryce has got a pen.
So when this motion, you're going to take it to in the middle.
And that means nothing because Gary's going to make a motion.
It means a lot because I'm not going to redo this. I'll offer my motion. Okay, I move that we approve the Bush family conditional use for the farm business as written with a change to the number two condition so that it just reads fire mitigation for parking and access.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion?
One discussion.
Okay.
Review for from legal counsel?
Yes. So with this conditional use, before we would issue that, I would like the attorneys to review it and make sure that it's defensible.
Okay.
So that's why that
defensible in what way?
That they can defend this conditional use that we're issuing.
For the town of Daniel?
For the town of Daniel. Unfortunately, that's the way the world's going.
Make sure we follow the rules.
Okay. Hopefully that won't spend too much time.
Okay. Any other comment? Good one, Kim. Okay, seeing none, call for the vote. Do a roll call vote starting down there. Mark?
Mark, aye.
Eric?
Ben,
aye.
Pam, aye.
Kim, aye.
Gary, aye.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, subject to legal review and those change on them items, we'll be moving forward with your conditional use permit.
We'll see you later.
Okay. With this application is an application for a agricultural building. Which is a separate item. Which is a separate item on the same line, agricultural building. And so, of course, we don't engineer the agricultural buildings. Subject to them signing the agricultural conditions for an agricultural building. Are we ready to issue a permit for the agricultural
Is this the structure, the proposed structure, the garden shed?
Yeah.
Is that the agricultural building?
Yeah. Well, it's just me, if I'm going to sell products and I've already got some orchard trees and I want to do other garden stuff, I mean, my plan was for people to drive in that entrance and come to that, but that doesn't work, so that's fine. But just a place where I can keep things and put stuff in it. And
the 280 square foot?
Yeah,
is that
it has to be under 300 square feet. I did read that correctly, right, Eric?
Yes, okay. Very good.
No utilities?
It's numbers. Thank you. See, it's numbers. I get numbers right.
No utilities?
No utilities. No, it's not going to.
Have you seen the agricultural letter concerning buildings? What the restrictions are, what you're signing? Have you seen that letter yet?
you'll be getting that prior to getting your permit issued. So when you go to pull that, to get that permit issued from TO, he'll have you sign that letter.
Okay.
I think you signed one with your existing building, it'll be the same one.
My existing building?
The barn.
Oh, the barn that was already there?
No, the one you build up on top.
Oh, the one we built up on top, the horse barn.
Same letter.
Oh, same letter, okay. I've seen it for the other barn, yes. Yes, that I have seen, but not one for this one.
Right, it'll be the same letter.
Okay.
Okay, any questions or comments regarding that? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the agricultural building on the Bush Family Farm.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Kim. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, call for the vote, starting over there with Mark.
Mark McAllister, aye.
Eric, aye.
Pam, aye.
Kim, aye.
Gary, aye.
Motion carries. Two items.
Can I go grade 250 papers?
Poor girl. Yes, you may. Thank you so much for going through the process.
Sorry, it took so long.
No, I'm sure it took so much of your time. I appreciate it.
The fire restriction. Can you have a fire in your fire?
We were going to have a fireplace. We were going to have a fire in our fireplace tonight, but do the fire restrictions include home fireplaces? This is totally off topic. I just asked her while we were sitting here.
It's a home, the sheriff's office.
Sheriff's office, and
yeah, because there is a red flag warning right now, so they will not allow you to burn typically, but you'll still have to call them if you're going to have a burn like that at home.
I just won't have one. I'd rather be safe than sorry. Thank you. I apologize.
Thank you.
Okay. We come to item number 3, Mark Haraldson's Highway 40 zone change application. So we've held a public hearing, we've taken public input. Did you guys get that one sent back out to you regarding his site plan that was requested to be sent back out? Did you guys get that?
Was it different than the one?
It's still the same.
Okay, that you printed out in the past?
Yes. Same.
It looked the same to me.
It is. It's the same. Anybody need a copy of that?
If you've got one handy.
I do.
I got one here, but.
Okay. Mail? I don't know why when she asked, I just give you one anyway.
Load me up.
Don't worry.
Ryan, you do need one? You got it, okay. That was your email, I printed them all. Okay. So again, we're here to make a recommendation on this one to the council for or against the zone change. You heard what come up in the public hearing, the items that was brought up. There was some concern versus the 400 versus the 450 foot. I did bring the zoning map, so we're able to clarify where that line will be should the application be approved.
My question is drawing to scale, because we don't have dimensions on the back piece.
I don't know if that drawing is to scale. This map is.
We can compare there, maybe.
What he presented was a concept plan with the council for the planning commission to change that 400 feet to something different.
Well, I don't, but I wanted to know what the back piece, the dimension of this back piece.
It might help. Everybody can come up.
Those are just some of the comments, and so.
We don't have a thing to hang here, so.
It's my only point. I think when you tried to do a study about equally, you know, so it's 2.5 acres or 2.5.
You want to come up and plant your parcel, commissioners?
Oh, okay. Eric, we're at picture, obviously. It's written on here.
Pardon? Property line?
Is that what we're talking about?
This is for zone change.
Person 20.
Yeah, 400 to 450 feet. We don't know where that line is. No, it's not property line. It is commercial zone.
Oh, no.
I know. These are all storage units. This is the only parking.
When they go, is to keep it out of Little Sweet, which I know is the plan is done.
Buildings in front.
Yeah, they agree to your.
Well, it seems to have agricultural access.
Yeah, that actually won't go away.
No.
Should we are making.
So from the red? Would it be from the red?
It looks like it's from the drawing, probably like right here.
Yeah.
Wherever.
No, this is, no, that's me by right there.
Okay, so River Valley Storage is right here.
Okay, so our back, thank you, corner is right there.
And at this point, the concept.
About right there.
So this is probably commercial.
Here. This is the back corner of River Valley Storage.
Right.
And I think that is the same location, probably, right here.
No, I'm confused. I don't think so.
So that would be, I don't think so either.
I think it's over here.
Is that back River Valley Storage?
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, you're right.
Basically in the. So we end up with a red section similar to this right here, which leaves this little triangle.
No, this is the piece right here.
Right, but if we go commercial with this, then the red would be right here.
Yeah, correct.
And then what is this little parcel here? Who owns that? This triangle.
Little beige triangle right there.
It's all, oh, there's two, there's lot here.
Do you have a little lot up front too, Victor?
You better come get in on this, Vic.
Yeah.
I don't understand what this is going over in your parcel.
You own that part of it.
This little red, little beige triangle. But he's in there, so this is the line right there, 400 feet, ridiculous.
Done.
So that's.
Eric, that red that's there, is that already zoned? Is that exact shape like that?
It's actually, we own more of that on the other end.
Enterprise, I think.
Just looks like.
And this red symbolizes existing commercial.
Correct.
Okay, what's this little parcel in here?
That's going to.
So that's why those dimensions.
Well, how come it's not on this plan?
His parcel's down here.
His parcel's right here.
Yeah, this one right here.
This one. So the question is, what's.
No, when you have these other things sticking in.
So that's all, this is the zoning that we got from the county, except for this one. So Nephi Trinell.
They just drew a line.
You're right.
Gotcha.
So this is.
That's my property.
Yeah, there's an acre here, and there's 2.5 acres there.
Okay.
And there's another 2.5 acres.
So our red zone will be roughly from where my fingernail is there, north.
South, right. I don't know which property is going on over here. This here is my property. This here is Davis's property.
But you can see what it does to this lot.
River Valley Farms. This corner here is not.
He still brings that lot aside to get you.
There's three pieces of property.
It's just not separate.
Right.
You brought that up in public meeting. I wasn't sure where Davis was. So basically, the front end of Davis and the end here.
It's kind of good the way it comes over there. Look at it there.
It's kind of small.
Yeah, that's why you see. This here is that from Davis's.
That's what's funny.
Also.
No, this is.
Wow, we're just creating this island here.
There's the one row houses there, or one row properties.
Here, we're creating an island.
2 years ago, Gary, it was amazing we could even do this, so.
Because this will be commercial.
There are some weird easements and access.
Because this little island here.
Some of those properties do have access.
I know, but it's an island.
Unless you do a title search.
There sucks here.
Well, there's another way to figure it out.
You want to call it?
It's 5 acres?
Yeah. Well, would you call this parcel an RA5?
So.
44 acres.
What this is coming off of here?
Go with the width. Which is.
This is in my property right here.
I wish I saw that.
You need to ignore that red a little bit.
Probably was never permitted.
That's 200 square feet right there. A post there, electrical post.
They sold it.
And they're back there, so I got 1 acre down here, 2.5 acres back.
So it's 175 feet wide?
No, that's part of the meter.
I guess this red doesn't.
I saw 25, 30, 60, and 30, and 30, so proposed area.
So it's really not.
So with three base numbers. So, you know, take another look at it.
Yeah, none of these have.
Make sure this is right before you decide.
We looked at it and looked at it.
I'm sure you're gonna, you know, make it all right, but. Unless I wrote these down, you're correct.
So this red is totally.
We all looked at it.
That is.
Just randomly, they took a marker and went young.
I believe that was done when. They just drew that line down my corridor. And said, this is where it'll be, and I believe that was it.
I don't know. I know.
We've got a little triangle.
I guess I got overwhelmed with this red thing, which means really not.
I'm just saying is.
Why did it go off like that? It's confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's where you look at the general plan and talk about.
Would it be nice if you had just one map?
Highway commercial.
Without all the.
I don't know what else you'd do with that. Other than what they're doing right now.
So is this parcel 5 acres, the whole thing?
Yeah.
You know what I'm wondering?
Like 5.1 acreage.
So I'm just trying to find out how long this is.
Just talking about zoning and.
And I think.
And later we talk about the deed restrictions.
I did that on Google Maps, I'm feel free, but it seems like it's just over 1,300 feet.
Well, I just came up with. I came up with 1244, so.
So.
That's probably, it would be half of that because that would be a four. That line also went back here.
Certificate is a.
So.
Does that, so let's discuss those things right now.
So that's why, because we had, so what I did is I don't know why, I was looking at these numbers.
Yeah, but I didn't know how much.
But it should have been those numbers that we had.
75 and.
Because if you take and add those, it's the 276. And then you add the 44, so the 29.
75, and I came up with 1244.
So we actually had 300.
So I'm gonna go with his number.
It's okay, just like I said, just make sure that.
So that's pretty close, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that good then? Okay.
So that shows.
Well, they call you, you work it out. It's better to get it before they catch it.
So Gary pulled that down, he runs pretty close.
So Hanson is not paying any commercial taxes here.
Right, so.
It's RA5.
So the county, even though it's in this zone, you don't pay commercial taxes until it's a use is what you pay. So if it's used as farmland, you're gonna pay farmland taxes. If it's used as commercial, you remember the place that Mark bought, that's what they brought was their document that showed, look, we're paying commercial taxes, we're commercial. And in fact, they wasn't, they are RA5. But they were paying commercial because that's how the county assesses its own use.
Okay. Let's say we approve this, and this turns into be a red area. You with me? We still have this that's an RA5, it's out on the highway.
Right.
We're creating an island there.
Well, we're application driven, so until somebody applies for that section.
You're gonna have that.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like good planning, but I see what you're saying with its application driven.
If you think it's poor planning, you just draw lines for somebody's property and tell them they're brown.
No, that's poor planning, no doubt about it.
We did that.
That's very poor planning.
When we was on the county, I remember Julie Wagstaff coming saying, "I don't want to be brown."
I want to be red.
It's like, whoa. So we've kind of just, that's how we ran our future land. They build a map for future land use. We have not built the map for that very reason. We let the general plan speak to those. So we haven't created the map of future use. We let the general plan interpret where those uses will be. And of course, we have the land use document that's right alongside of that. None of those are a single unit. They're all combined, all those documents. So.
So I just did some quick calculations, and it appears that the commercial area in here goes approximately halfway back in that parcel.
So what we are trying to do tonight is put a restrictive deed on the back property if we decide to commercial on the front properties.
Correct. Well, isn't our job to make a recommendation to the council?
Right.
For a zone change with a deed restriction on
whatever restriction.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
On here it's showing he's putting them right on the fences. How far away from fences do you have to put them?
So depending on what the zoning is next door, they'll have to comply with the zoning requirements, whatever's in the commercial zone, plus 821. It deals with zonings that abuts other zones and talks specifically to setbacks that abut other zones. So there's a whole section of code, 821 talks to those.
Okay,
because
so, I know on agriculture you can be within 2 inches of the building.
With ag? That was the old days. That doesn't happen anymore.
No, mine's on. Mine's right on the property line.
Yeah.
But that's because in 72 there was no code.
No setbacks. Correct. Yep.
Will you state your name for me?
Pardon?
Will you state your name for me?
Victor.
State.
Oh, Victor Hansen.
Thank you.
Yeah, so he'll have to meet those when they go to develop, but that'll be part of their building permit and not part of the zone change, but that will be looked at, yes. Okay, is there any other questions? We talked about making a deed restriction on the parcel that's left. The applicant has indicated that they're okay with that, that that's something they would entertain, so. The reason I brought that map is because they're, so you said that works out 400 feet, that's 413, is that what you're saying?
Approximately.
So they're really close on the 400 feet that they had requested.
It'd be 400 on one side, 600 on the other.
Oh, because it's on the angle of the highway?
Because of the angle of the highway out here. If I measure from the highway back, it leaves from the property line up to that.
Okay, so on Victor's side it's 413?
Yeah.
Okay.
Approximately. I mean,
yeah, right.
I don't have...
Right, we're just throwing numbers out.
Yeah.
So does that, is that's pretty close with our zoning map, what we're showing? A little deeper?
Maybe a little deeper.
A little deeper?
It's quite a bit.
But I still think it kind of like protects the people on Little Sweden, the residential areas.
I think it's about 100 feet deeper. That the other property was around 300 feet, so this would be about 100 feet more.
Yeah, and the Trunell piece is even deeper than that. So,
true.
So it's. And so the other thing we talked about was the deed restriction placed on the rear of the property. And if that's the case, I would recommend that we do that prior to zoning change. That deed restriction is recorded at the county against the parcel prior to the certificate of zoning being issued.
Okay.
So.
Let's do it.
Is there any other, those are just some things I've jotted down that we talked about in the public hearing.
And who does that, who submits that to the county?
So the applicant would be required to put that and get it recorded at the county, is that correct, Ryan?
Yeah, so we would approve the language. We would want to approve the language of the deed restriction and then the applicant could have it recorded.
So is there language set aside already for the deed restriction?
There's some language that we've had, but this will be unique for this parcel. Because most deed restrictions run on the entire parcel, this is only going to run on half.
Who okays that, property owner?
Once they record that, then it'll be recorded at the county.
Right, but who approves the, I guess, the deed restriction is, do we approve that we agree to the restrictions that have been put with that, or who?
I would say our attorneys are the ones going to look at that.
Okay.
Because they're going to be the ones that have to defend it.
So it sounds like that needs to get done, and we need to table this until that's done.
Well, you're probably not going to go through that process unless you have a motion subject to that condition. That's a lot of hassle to go through if.
But we don't know exactly how the condition's written, so it's kind of hard to say.
That's right, but we know what it's going to do. It's going to restrict that back 400 from development in the commercial zone, because the entire parcel will be commercial.
Right.
But the deed restriction will be on the back half.
Is the deed restriction going to restrict legal access as far as a road or something?
Well, then.
Onto Little Sweden?
It's already.
It seemed like that was a lot of.
It was.
Discussion.
The problem off Little Sweden is there's not big enough to have legal access.
I remember that, but they're.
Yeah, so they can't.
So they said it's an agricultural access, which I think would still be valid.
For use.
If someone was going to use that for agriculture.
Department, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it wide enough for like utility easement or anything like that, I wonder?
23 feet?
34.
34 feet was the access?
So it would still be wide enough to kind of have a utility access or?
Yeah.
Yeah, except it's an access easement, so you can't use the easement for something that it wasn't written for.
Okay. Any other items? So, you got anything?
No, I'm just curious when the 10th of January will be made, just because of our contract.
Okay.
Keep hunting, yeah.
It's a long process, I understand. Okay, so if there's no more comment, are we ready to entertain a motion?
Confusion motion.
Confusion motion? Do we need clarity on something, Kim, or?
Well.
Well, let's see if we get a motion, we'll have discussion on the motion then.
Yeah.
So I'll go ahead and entertain a motion.
Not sure how it works.
That's me. I can agree with something as much.
You had some ideas, though.
Please make it for a recommendation to council.
Okay, I could make a motion for recommendation to council to change the zoning to commercial, subject to the deed restrictions. We love.
To the rear of the property.
Subject to appropriate deed restrictions to the rear half of the property. Is that close enough?
First thing first, Dan.
Okay.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
Okay, no, I'll wait for discussion.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Discussion on the motion, Gary.
I wonder if it would be wise to change it to the rear portion of the property rather than half, because we don't really know that it's exactly half or.
So how do we designate about how much of it is?
Maybe according to the.
Well, what we're saying is there's the rear.
According to this plan?
The rear portion?
Yeah, but, yeah.
Because we want to make sure that line doesn't move from what we've looked at so far.
So. Yeah.
And yeah, it's not exactly half, so.
Well, I guess the deed restriction will describe what portion of that is under that restriction, and so when we see that.
It better resemble what we talked about.
So we could change the wording of my motion then to the rear portion of the parcel.
Okay, that's a change on your motion?
Yes.
Mary?
Okay, say that one more time, sorry. I was trying to write it all down.
Instead of it saying the back half, we can say the rear portion of the parcel.
Okay. Does your second stand? with that change?
Yes.
Okay.
And does that allow us to see the deed restriction before final approval?
Yeah, because it's subject to...
Yeah, but who's going to see that? And who's going to decide?
The council will definitely see it, because the mayor signs, planning signs that deed.
Do we need to put that in the motion, I guess?
You can include that to come back here if you want to review that deed restriction prior to.
That could make it take another month.
No, it needs to come back to us.
The city council can handle that part, don't you think?
I think so.
If there's a problem, they'll send it back, I know that.
Okay.
As long as the council understands what the intent was when we came up with the idea.
Yeah.
I'm clear as mud.
Perfect.
Joining mud flood.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion on the motion?
I think you should have a distance over there, not just leave it so far back, because that could be 10 feet away from the back property. You've got to have at least some kind of a distance, I'd say.
But that'll be in the deed restriction.
100 feet or enough to, there's got to be some, how can you say it, a distance there. Otherwise, when you say the back proportion could be 10 feet, then there's no designation of how long, how far back.
And I'd like to throw out a suggestion that we have the engineer give you the measurement so that when it goes to council, they can say, okay, this is the buffer basically from Little Sweet to the back part of our development.
Right, that's good.
Because we don't know, honestly.
Yeah, we have an idea, but we don't know.
Yeah.
Now, will you state your name?
Mark Harrelson.
Mark Harrelson.
Just making sure.
Sure.
Good girl.
It always drives me crazy when you get the plans and you need like a magnifying scope to see what that measure is.
So we can't designate an exact amount because we don't know what it is right now.
We don't know what that looks like.
So all we can do is say the back portion. And then the council will look at those deed restrictions, make sure that they feel like it's appropriate.
And certainly my report to them will be on that.
And the lawyers will look at it too.
And the lawyers will have the final say because they have to defend.
Because they have the legal.
Yeah, and there's a spot they have to sign on the plan also.
Just so you'll know, the intent of the council, at least I'm speaking for myself, would be that we would have that restriction on the plat itself before we approve it.
Right.
Yeah.
Before the ordinance goes through.
And also on the deal, we'll also, I will also require it on the deed.
You want what the deed says, the deed restriction says.
I think that deed restriction needs to be written so that if the land use surrounding totally changes, that can be lifted appropriately. And not that we've stuck an island there forever.
I think a future council could change that at any time.
Okay, as long as the council can change it.
I'm in the middle of some of those now. Future council can add more deed restrictions or take them off. So unfortunately, it's not permanent.
Really?
Nothing is.
Good or bad.
Yeah, a future council could reverse that if they come to an agreement.
Scheduled with the parcel as a deed restriction, it was stuck with the parcel for the parcel's life.
It is, unless the future council changes it. So they could come back, a group could come back here in 5 years and say, hey, this deed restriction's really not working for us. Here's the other things that have changed. We'd like you to lift it. And a future council could say, we agree, and then it's gone.
Yeah. An example of that is Mr. Hansen could come in and want to go commercial himself.
Okay.
And he would need that parcel maybe to fit into his plan.
Okay.
That's just an example.
No, that helps clarify. Thank you, Kim.
That's a good point. I said a future council or this council.
They better hurry.
Okay, any more discussion? You ready for a vote? We'll take a roll call vote. Start from there.
Mark.
Aye. Eric, aye.
Pam, aye.
Kim, nay.
Gary, aye.
Okay. We have a four. Motion passes. We'll be making a recommendation to the council.
Thanks for doing that, because Tom's not here.
Okay, very good.
Quick question.
Yes, sir.
When does the council meet next?
Monday after Labor Day.
September 13th.
Does that leave you enough time?
Well, our due diligence deadline ends the end of this month. We just have to either roll the dice or
pull the plug.
Request an extension or pull the plug, one of the three.
Yeah. Well, you got three options. That's better than two.
Yeah, three's better than one.
I can tell you that the application was turned in on time, and the council does have to act on that in November. By code, they have to act on that. One way or the other, it has to be acted on in November. So, okay. They can't tell you that.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any way to expedite the deed restriction part of this? Do you want to start working on that?
If that's the applicant's responsibility, yeah, we can make a first draft and send it to your council for review.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Okay. I think that would speed the process along.
It's a good comment, yeah. And who's your attorney?
We have a bunch of them.
Okay. Should I just give it to you and we're done for the draft?
So Smith and Hartz-Vixen. Smith and Hartz-Vixen in Salt Lake.
Okay.
And if you get that draft to Ryan, we'll be able to get that sent out.
Okay.
You'll probably be working with Ryan or Amelia directly to get...
I'll just give it to Ryan when we've got a draft.
Give it to us. I think we need to send it to legal.
Yeah.
If he sends it to legal, they're not going to know what to do with it. So
right.
You or I need to send it with the directions.
When we're done.
Yeah. Well, I think if it's not good with us, there's no reason to send it to legal until it's good here.
Okay.
Once it's good here, then we'll send it to legal.
Okay.
So.
I thought that you got the engineer on board. My thought would be just to find a legal description. The back half is four calls.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not creating a separate parcel, but it's four calls, and this legal description for
next. You know, legal with the deed restriction, proposed language, and send it to
Ryan. Yeah, and they'll send it right over to me, and we'll be able to review that.
And then if it's good, you can send it to your council.
Well, yeah, we'll have it at the council meeting on that next meeting. If it's ready to go, we'll present that with the recommendation. So.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Who did the second on that motion?
Mark.
Okay. Sorry. I usually write that down just for future reference. Okay.
You did it twice.
The next item on the agenda is Jacob Freeman, 3075 South Big Hollow Road. It's a remodel permit. Did everybody get that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only a couple items with that. Thanks, Vic. So there's a couple items with that. One is the general contractor is listed an address in the town. He's not listed with the town holding a license. So we haven't issued the permit yet, but we would have done that with staff other than that was a problem. So with the commission's permission, I will contact the contractor and have him secure a permit with the town prior to issuing that.
So who is this contractor?
CJC.
I'm looking at that thing on where that is listed.
It will be on the left-hand side of the permit right there. So they are licensed with the state of Utah. They just don't have a Daniel license, and they list their address, if I'm not mistaken, as 101 East Little Sweden Road. Is that the address you see there at the top, for general contractor?
Oh, I see.
On page one.
Heber City.
On the application.
I don't see.
Looking at the plans.
It should be on the application, not the plan.
I didn't see an application.
No, we only have the plan.
We don't have the application. All we have is the plan.
Then you'll have to take my word for it.
Okay.
I guess you'll have to double check. That's what you said you're doing.
Yes. So I do check the license number. Sometimes we get contractors that aren't licensed with the state, and of course we don't issue a permit for that. But on something like this, the general contractor who lists he's within the town, I don't know that we've ever held a license up for that, but clearly they're doing illegal activity by not being licensed in the town, if that's where they claim their office is.
So that was kind of one of my questions, is we have some new commercial buildings in town that have businesses that have moved in. Have they gotten business licenses?
They have not. And the county and us are working on that.
They don't all have COs either.
Yeah, they don't even have CO on the building.
Pardon me?
They don't have certificate. The buildings aren't complete either.
So, yeah.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
There's a lot of things in the town that doesn't have COs.
Yeah, there's a few things.
So anyway, we don't have, all we have is the, all I have is the basement.
Plans.
Thank you for that word.
Okay. So that was just the application. Like I said, the remodel, usually the staff just issue those permits.
Yeah.
We don't hold them up, but because of this issue, we haven't issued that permit.
Okay.
So.
Because of the general contractor not being
licensed in the town. And again, if they lived in Park City and came here, we wouldn't know if they have one in Park City. We just know that since they've listed their license, their address in the town, that they should have a contracting or a business license in the town.
Hmm.
So we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
I imagine it's not that big a deal for them to just get one, but we'll see. Some things I think are big deals. So.
Okay.
Do they have a general contractor's license?
They do with the state of Utah.
Do with the state.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, so we found a couple of them that have been expired, and so we'll point that out, that the license is expired. We won't issue the permit, and they fix it.
Or he could have a place of business in Heber, and he listed his home address.
Yes.
Mailing address.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just don't know. That's what he listed on his application.
Look into it and find out.
Yeah, and then we'll go ahead and issue that once that's corrected.
CJC contracting.
Yeah. So the next one is Chubb, Poppy Lane. That's on Poppy Lane. They've put in a deck permit. Did you guys see that?
Yep.
And so they're a long ways away from their property line. So I mean, we didn't have an issue. The reason that we're looking at that is because it's covered. If it's just a deck, we don't regulate it. But since it's covered and hooks to the house and the structure, leans on the house, and I noticed some of the structural comments came back with that shear load on that wall. So,
and on that, all I got was the building permit application.
Yeah,
right. No plans.
No plan.
I can swing both ways.
We got one, not the other. Is that something we need to vote on, or you just do?
No, again, that's a remodel, so. Okay. You guys have given staff authority to issue those permits,
right.
Once everything that we see. That's when it comes to you. When we have a problem, then I just send it to you guys. Cause
so is it both of these, or is it?
Yes, it's both of those.
Okay.
And they're covered, so that's why. Oh, they requested a permit, and so they request a permit, we'll get one and do the inspections.
Well, they should be thankful that you found a shear wall issue before.
Well, that's the
deck. But with the roof and walls and second stories and complicated decks, we require the permit because things like shear walls are important to not miss.
Yeah, when you get that extreme weather warning from the National Weather Service.
The phone goes ding.
Like last night and tonight.
Yeah, just like that. So that's why that one came.
Whoops.
And it wouldn't have even came here except for it was just so close to our meeting, we just sent it.
Okay.
So that's why I included that in there.
Okay.
The planning report is the same as last month.
We lost it.
I want to see it.
There
it
went, huh?
When you find it.
The whole computer, it's just got a blue screen now.
That's all right. It's going back to IT anyway, that's all right.
So we've gone over most of the planning report items. We did prevail in court this past week with the Reeder case.
What was the Reeder?
So we're drafting in the order for the judge to sign that says the town owns it right away, and everything we did within there has sole jurisdiction on that. So again, that was That case was the town of Daniel, Eric Bunker, and Chip Turner. So we was named individually in that case, sued personally on that. So there's been a couple of those.
It's good they point out the troublemakers.
That's right. Correct. Keep it out there. So, but we did prevail. That was a good thing. So we're pretty excited about that. 20 minutes after that, the attorney sent a letter recusing himself as their attorney.
Their attorney?
The Reader's attorney. It was 20 minutes later we received that withdrawal of counsel notice. Which tells me it's probably not going to get appealed.
You never know.
It could. That's right. You never know. Okay. Next item on the agenda is minute approval. Does anybody got any questions before we move on to minute approval? Okay. Moving on to minute approval. Everybody have a chance to review the minutes? Any corrections or additions?
What? I didn't listen to the audio, but the minutes were a little vague this time. And I wasn't here, so.
It was really vague then, huh?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't have any idea what you guys talked about.
Okay. Well, while you guys are looking at that, let me remind you of a couple of house bills that went through that we need to probably be drafting some ordinances on, if anybody wants to take a swing at it. House Bill 82, basement apartments are allowed now by state code.
You mean second kitchen is allowed, right?
It is. Second kitchens are allowed. We have ordinance in place that requires them to have an entrance from the inside. That is one thing that the legislature said that we could regulate was access. And so that still is our mother-in-law apartment in the RA5 zone already has that restriction in it. And so we're able to continue that with our ordinance of the access. So there's no outside entrance into an apartment. It still has to come from within the main structure. And we can regulate owner on site. And with that, it allows us to file a lien on the property if there's a problem. And it's $100 a day from the day of the complaint. Once that's filed, that lien goes $100 a day and it can be attached to the property taxes.
So why can't it be from outside? Is that to discourage apartments?
It's to discourage rental out. So they want, if you're inside, the owner knows what's going on.
Right.
Everything, so that it lessens the impact. But they had to address a housing issue, and that's one way they did it, is they just made that a rule. So people that didn't allow that prior, they have to draft a whole new ordinance, but we already had that ordinance in place. It was a conditional use. Now it will move on our list to an approved use based on state code. So if you want to read that whole thing, it's House Bill 82. If you're going to regulate that, you have to have your ordinance in place by October 1st. Okay, the other couple other ones that we don't need to deal with, just for your information, is the Senate Bill 125, electronic meeting. If you're going to hold an electronic meeting, you do have to have an anchor location that the public can come to. So as the COVID's coming back up, and if we go back into electronic meetings, there has to be an anchor location.
Like this room or something like
somewhere,
that?
Somewhere, yeah, there has to be an anchor location. So that's a new one that they put in, because when we went to that, there was no anchor location. We went totally electronic, and they said that the Senate, that Senate Bill 125, there's some noticing requirements that changed. Mary's familiar with those. Some of those, Senate Bill 201 changes the notice that you have to run in the newspaper. Now it's all on the website, the public notice website. So that'll be a change. If people say they didn't see it in the paper, that's because it doesn't have to be there. It's very expensive to run those ads. We pay a lot of money for the wave. And everybody you talk to is like, I didn't read that in the wave.
I'm sure the way is not happy about it. Their legal notice section was this big this week.
Yeah.
No, that's hurting them.
Yeah. Another one that we need to really look at is 130, and it's called CAFOs.
Is that a House or Senate bill?
I don't know. I didn't write that part down. I was in a hurry. I believe it's a House bill, though. 130. And so it's called CAFO, and it's Concentrated Animal Feeding Operations. If we don't have an ordinance in place by February 1st, in any agricultural zone, there is no restrictions on how many concentrated animal feeding operations you can have in any agricultural zone.
We do have zoning in place as per the number of animals per acre, right?
We do have that in place.
So we're probably okay on that?
Might be, but this is probably one we want to make sure we are.
Yeah.
Unless somebody wants a feedlot.
So that's what I was just curious. Is that like kind of leaning towards allowing a feedlot in any agricultural zone is what I'm...
That's what will happen on February 1st. If you don't have an ordinance, they can apply and you have to let them have a concentrated feedlot. So that's one that came out.
So we probably could just review the animals per acre and...
And maybe draft one.
Make sure it covers it.
Ties into this 130.
So does that need to be an agenda item we need to address?
Like I said, if anybody wants to take a poke at any of these, you're welcome to draft an ordinance. That's absolutely something we need to address.
Just remember, whereas.
If I can find the House bill, that'll be the biggest challenge.
We don't want a feedlot.
No, yeah.
Just all you got to do is if you push in search Google CAFO, it will come up.
CAFO.
Yep, Concentrated Animal Feeding Operation. It's called a CAFO. That's what the bill's name was, CAFO.
That might also hit the county's groundwater protection a little bit.
You might.
What's it? What did you say?
Groundwater protection.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully.
That's already...
Okay, they did require the town to give municipals must provide notice to water providers. We are our own provider, but if we were to buy water from outside source, you have to now have to give notice to that. And they did allow impact fees to pay for the study of the impact fee now. So they've made that change. That is House Bill 63. There's a myriad of other ones, but I know nobody really cares about those except for me. So
impact fee for the impact fee study.
We're glad you care.
So then they're going to need another impact fee to figure out how much they have to charge for the study impact.
Yes. Yeah, but they did free up those funds. Prior, we had to eat that cost. So, okay, we're back to the minutes. Is anybody ready to entertain a motion? There was one, I don't have it here in front of me, but there was one, I do have it here somewhere in front of me. We had Mrs., what's her name, from MAG that did our mitigation. I'm going to have to find it now. Anyway, it says Mr., it needs to be Mrs. Shauna Meekum.
Oh.
I didn't find it, I remembered. It's still working.
It's not Rick, it's Shauna. The last time I saw Meekum, I just assumed it was Rick Meekum.
Yeah, it's Shauna Meekum from Mountain Land Association of Government. So. Okay, that was the only change I had. Anybody else have anything? Okay, entertain a motion.
July 21st.
July 21st, okay. I move that we accept the minutes for the July 21st planning meeting with the one change that was suggested by Eric.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Now, the motion is second. Any discussion? Seeing none, call for the vote. All in favor? We won't do a roll call vote. Okay, any opposed?
Wait, you're not going to do roll call?
No.
Sorry, I was waiting.
Do you want a roll call?
And, yeah.
Okay.
I need a roll call because...
The minutes that I'm reading say they're for June 16th.
Yeah, I can't find the 31st ones. Or what was the date again, Mary? You said?
July
21st. Well, on her agenda it says July 21st.
Yeah, but the only ones I see are the 16th, same one.
I'm going to have to find them anyway. That's the ones you're looking at?
Yeah, that was the last email I got this week.
Monday.
Was that a joint?
No, we had the meeting on the 21st, but then there was a meeting on the 2nd.
The second was?
If you look at the title of the document, it's July 21st, so I believe June 16th on here is the mistake.
Oh, there you go.
And these are things that we discussed in the last meeting.
Yeah, so wait, are they supposed to be July 21st but labeled incorrectly?
So that's the other change. It should be July 21st, not June 16th.
So there you go.
Minutes and agenda.
That probably gets changed off the last one, huh?
June 16th.
That's weird because the thing says July 21st on the agenda.
Yeah. In fact, if you look down on number 8, we approved the minutes of June 16th.
16th, right there.
Yep.
So it's just the header at the top that needs to be fixed.
Okay. Does your motion stand with that change?
Yes.
Second?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody's vote still good?
Aye.
Okay.
I abstain.
You abstain?
No, I wasn't there.
I was at the meeting.
I got confused. I didn't think we had a meeting.
I know.
I thought the second was both of them.
So Kim and Pam both abstain?
And Mark, you aren't here either.
Right.
Just in case you know.
You two both abstain?
Approve them, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, you just don't do that.
In fact, it'd be nice if you would, so we have a quorum.
Okay, I approve.
Okay, there's a 4 vote.
Okay, so Gary, Kim, Bennett.
Mark.
Mark's approving. Thank you.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Sorry, Mary.
Take my.
Pam can be the rep.
All good. Just making sure.
Okay. All right. Oh, that leaves us our last thing, motion to adjourn. Number 8.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Pam. Any discussion on the motion? Done? All in favor?
Aye.